it can increase in you, and it can begin to walk. It can begin to move. It's no longer sitting down. It has the ability to walk. It has, my God, feet that have come forth. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it can now serve. That faith can now serve you. That faith can now get up and go forth and bring what you have spoken as a commandment by way of the word of God. Hallelujah. And see that substance, the Bible said. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now you don't want to tell the servant, give a command to the servant, hallelujah, and then tell him to go and sit down. No. Mm-hmm. Use your feet, servant. Yes. Get up. Use go your ability something. To go forth and do what I ask you to do. Yes. Use your ability to go forth and bring back, hallelujah, what I have commanded, what I have spoken, what I desire, what's on my heart. Yes. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. Glory to my seat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's just time now. Glory to God. When your faith has been tested. When your faith has been tried, glory to God, hallelujah, to see, hallelujah, what you have said. Yes, we need Lord. To see what we have said.
Yes.
Somebody say, I need to see.
I need to see what I have said.
Hallelujah. Yes, I don't need my faith not working. I don't need my faith idle. I need my faith moving. Hallelujah. I heard your elder when you said, God, hallelujah. Hallelujah is moving. Glory to God. The Spirit of God is moving. His faith is moving. How many know? Amen. Faith, hallelujah, glory to God, can be seen as a servant, and it can be seen as a seed. That's why Jesus spoke about the greater mustard seed, and then he begins to speak about a servant. You can see it in both aspects. Praise God. You can see faith as a greater mustard seed, and you can see faith as a servant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That grain of mustard seed, he said, if you had faith as a grain. A lot of people will add the word as size. It has nothing to do with the size. Somebody say it has nothing to do with the size.
Hallelujah.
Because power, it can be the smallest thing can be power packed. And that's what it's saying. As the grain of a mustard seed, because that which is within that mustard seed produces the greatest of all trees.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's about what's on the inside. It's about the substance. It's about, hallelujah, the content. It's about, glory to God, the potency that is present.
Bring my substance.
The potency that's present.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. So as a grain of mustard seed, there's something in that mustard seed that causes it to produce the greatest of all trees.
My God.
Hallelujah.
My God.
So
that spoken
what word. Is it
that spoken word
that needs to be in us?
That
what kind of seed that need to be in us?
Thank you, Father.
That would cause the greatest of anything else around to be produced in our life.
My God.
Hallelujah. I believe it's that seed of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I believe it's that seed of the power of God, that dunamis power.
Glory
to God. Hallelujah. That seed that produces what is spoken about in Ephesians 3:20, when it says that that God is able to do exceedingly. That means something that is beyond everything else. It excels above everything else, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think according to the power. He's able to do it according to the power. According to, hallelujah, that substance of that grain of mustard seed, hallelujah, that's in us. The word. The word.
Abundance.
The word.
Yes, God.
We need that word to see that faith come forth.
Yes, God.
That word commands.
Yes.
It commands. And the command causes, hallelujah, faith to know what to do.
What to do.
The servant to know what to do.
My God.
The servant to know where to go.
My God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
My
hallelujah.
God.
And it says in verse number 8, it says, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup. In other words, whatever type bread, whatever type thing that I need in my life, glory to God, I'm going to speak the word. By faith, glory to God, and cause faith to bring forth and produce. Hallelujah.
My God.
Gird itself. It says, gird and gird thyself and serve me. Glory to God.
Gird
thyself. Hallelujah. Put on this word that I'm speaking to you.
Yes, Lord.
Put on, hallelujah, these instructions in your mind. Glory to God. It's by way of the supernatural. It's by way, hallelujah, of the power of God. It's by way, glory to God, of this anointing. It's by way of this Holy Ghost that's living on the inside of me. Hallelujah, that you go forth as I, hallelujah, go forth in God's anointing.
My God.
And say unto him, glory to God, gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Serve me until I have what I need. Till I have, glory to God, partaken. The Bible says, teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that we need, whatever provision we need, praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
faith.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We don't have to think about what we're going to eat. We don't have to think about what we're going to drink. Just speak it.
Just speak it.
Just speak it. Y'all know.
Just speak
we
it.
We might be crazy. Y'all think we might be crazy. Hallelujah. But I look like a Mr. Mill. I'm Mr. Mill. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
And
praise
all the
God.
Time I didn't have money. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And all the time
Amen.
I didn't have the means.
Amen.
But hallelujah, glory to God. God always made
it's
a way.
Yes,
glory
Lord.
To God. By faith. Amen. Hallelujah. The servant of faith came in and ministered to the need. Hallelujah. Every time. I remember I had nothing. I needed money before the next day. Amen. For Easter for my kids. I had their clothes on layaway. I didn't have the money to get it out. Amen. And the lady came and knocked on my door while I was praying. Come on, somebody. And had the checkbook in her hand. Y'all don't want to hear me. And hallelujah, a lily. Hallelujah. Inside of a flower pot. Standing there. She said, God told me to stop and give you this lily and ask you how much it is that you need. Y'all don't want to hear me. Praise God. But I tell you, faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. Go forth and speak the word. Hallelujah. And faith will go forth and produce whatever it is that you are standing in the need of. Apostle, you got anything to add before we get ready to get out of here?
Just continue to speak it into existence and don't doubt. Just speak it and believe it and know it, because look, like Apostle R said, look, I woke up this morning. I had a need. I put my faith to work. Look, it's a millionaire got my phone number now. So, hey.
Oh, I don't just want him to have your phone number. I want him to lose some of that millions. I'm excited about it, but I want to lose some of those millions.
He said, I will be calling you again.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
You just keep speaking. You just keep believing in faith. You just got to keep believing.
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I think I really love you a whole lot more now that you got the meeting.
Listen, these people got airplanes in their front yards. I'm like,
whoa. Oh, praise God. What? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
One. You always say that.
That's all we need is one. Amen. God is good. We appreciate you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, God, for opening up these doors for us. We thank you for opening up the doors for those that are listening. And we pray, God, that you will open up the windows of heaven and continue to pour out blessings that we don't have room enough to receive. Lord God, bless this radio station. God, bless our brother Chip, praise God, and all of those, Pastor McAllister, all of those that have broadcast, we lift them up right now. We thank you for them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for touching lives all over this globe, and we give you praise and glory, and we want to say that we want you to remember that today is... Another day of miracles. God bless you. We love you. Here we go. I'm excited. Been ignited by the fire of God.
I'm excited.
Been ignited.
Been ignited.
I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Been ignited.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the river of the north. It's the river, oh, the river of God. There's a river,
there's a river
I wanna swim in.
I wanna swim in.
There's a river,
there's a river
I wanna live in.
I wanna.
It's the river,
it's the river,
river of the anointing.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's time for Living the Good Life right here on TantalkNetworks.com and Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. That's who's up next. That's us. And I've been chatting away here with the dear McKays, who were just on before us. And just exciting because we're getting ready to have a service with them. And that's coming up on March 29, which will be really cool, Nan. So as soon as Nan gets into her seat, you will hear from her in just a minute. So we were all having a good time planning our service, March 29th, coming up at Beacon of Hope, our new facility in Clearwater, 2058 Weaver Park Drive. We look forward to an amazing service that day. Nan, you want to comment on that? Well, I start YouTube right here for people who might want to catch YouTube.
Oh, we had such a wonderful, wonderful service with them last time. And God just mightily moved in the situation that we had in praising him. And I mean, it was just such a total movement.
Wasn't it great?
Of the Spirit of God. So many were individually ministered to.
Ministered to, yes.
I just can hardly wait to be able to get there again.
Well, our dear Betty, who's going to be on here in just a minute, is coming all the way from Michigan to be a part of that very special time for a couple weeks. We're going to have her right here live in the studio, which is exciting. But yes, for those of you out there in Radio Land that listen to the McKays, Truth Talk right before we come on, Living the Good Life, we've kind of been doing that thing for many years, them right before us, and we've established a friendship and a love for these dear people, and we had the first get-together with their churches on September 29th of this past year, September 29th, 2019. Happened to be our 18th anniversary for Beacon of Hope, and they were our special guests. And we had a combined service. And I tell you what, Nan, that was quite a day. Wasn't it great?
It was great, and I can hardly wait for it again, because I know it's going to be great again.
And we had a great big old dinner, didn't we?
Oh, it was fantastic.
And so we're going to have a pitch-in dinner that day right after the service. You don't want to miss that day at Beacon of Hope. Mark your calendar, March 29th, coming up pretty soon, about 6 weeks, or what, 5 weeks, I think. So if you come to Beacon of Hope that morning at 10 a.m., you will see the combined churches. There'll be three of us there together, our people and two churches from the McKay Gang. And that's an easy way to call them.
The McKay Gang. I love it.
And so we're looking forward to that and see what God has in store, what blessings. And it's just powerful when we unite with others, isn't it, Nan?
Well, that's what's so cool about the family of God. You know, we're in different churches, but God's love and his movement knows no boundaries.
Knows no boundaries. And so, Betty, that's you on the phone, right?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
We can, all the way from Michigan. That's amazing.
Can you hear me now, Betty? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
All right.
Just talking about the McKays. We were having old home week out here with them.
Oh, man.
With LaToya and her daughter and Tebony and also Deborah and Bishop. Both bishops are apostle and bishop, Rebecca and George. And what a great, great time. We love seeing them every Sunday. But we're really going to look forward to seeing them on March 29th. And Betty, you are coming all the way from the frozen tundra in Grand Rapids, Michigan area to be a part of a couple weeks of very special events at Beacon of Hope. Are you not?
Yes, I am. I'm really looking forward to fellowship and, you know, getting my praise on in Florida and getting feeling some warmth of the sun.
I was getting ready to say, you're just looking forward to getting yourself sunburned.
No, not this time.
You're going to be careful?
I'm going to be very careful this year because I got some things that the sun probably shouldn't reach because I got a couple of things coming up and I just got to be careful as you get older. You know, things just kind of sprout up and you just got to be careful.
All right. Well, I won't even ask you about that. Sounds rather personal. So, but anyway, Betty, we're looking forward to a great day today on the radio. We had a powerful day today at Beacon of Hope. And we're starting a new series today, Where Healing Happens, which is our new slogan at Beacon of Hope, Where Healing Happens. We're going to be in the book of Matthew. So those of you that like to follow along and make notes and all that, get your Bible, get your notebook. Matthew's coming up here pretty soon. Nan, let's talk about just the blessings week after week. Wednesday night Bible studies. Our Thursday night Go Yard show, a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. There's a lot going on at Beacon of Hope every day, it seems like.
There is a lot. We gather together as a family. We love each other as a family because we are a family. And the Lord just meets us. And by people, what I mean by God meets us, because some people may not understand that, His Holy Spirit is there. His anointing is there. And He anoints the teachers and the preachers who are bringing forth to us. It's just a wonderful, fantastic, you know, time of fellowship.
No, it really is. And it's a time where when you come in and you see those friends you haven't seen for a few days or a week or so, you just realize how much you love them, how much you miss them, well, you know, and how sweet they are.
They are sweet. And, you know, I know, like, for me, if I'm maybe not feeling real well or whatever, you know, and they just hug on you and love you and care for you and say, are you okay? And, you know, I know 2 Wednesday nights ago I had to miss because I basically had the flu.
Right.
I hated missing. I was thinking about you guys, but I wouldn't dare expose you to what I had. You have to use wisdom in those situations.
And we are grateful.
I figured you would be.
Yeah. I'd rather not get the flu from you.
I'd rather not share.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So God has been doing all kinds of wonderful things, all kinds of answers to prayer. We have seen it. Betty, the prayer line is just keeping you swamped, is it not?
Yes. Yes, you know, God is so good in answering prayer. But we had a few praise reports. We've had a lady that, you know, was diagnosed with possibly breast cancer. They did a biopsy. It was negative.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just like with, you know, people, just like with my daughter Megan, they're in the midst of getting into a new home, which has never happened. And God he wants his children happy. He wants to prosper us. He wants to give us our heart's desire.
Amen.
And we just have to seek him diligently. And knowing that, you know, he does answer prayer.
He does.
And I know we talked about this the last few weeks about, you know, being in a waiting room.
Right.
Is that sometimes it takes a little bit longer for others than it does, like, for me or for you or for Nan. But, you know, God answers prayer.
He does answer prayer.
I'm gonna make a pitch, because if you have a prayer request, please send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com. And God has said through a prophecy that this prayer vigil that's going on, even with Beacon of Hope, but across this nation, that God is going to pour out his spirit like
Amen.
He's never done before.
Amen. We
and
agree.
That can be you, listeners.
Yes.
That, you know, God has poured out his spirit on all mankind, and that's what we want. And,
Amen.
You know, just like this, you know, the series we're going into where healing happens.
Right.
It's already done. So all we have to do is just thank him and praise him for it. So I'm looking forward to the show today.
Oh, I am too. So, Lord, we thank you for this time together with Betty and Nan, our listeners, wherever they might be around the globe, whether they listen now live or at a later time. We give you the glory and the praise for what you're going to do in the next 2 hours. We can't believe how blessed we are. We do believe it. Thank you, Lord, to be able to have a 2-hour block on Sunday afternoon every week. And we thank you for that block of time right here on the radio station. So, Lord, bless our listeners. Let them hear your word and let them wake up today. We're going to start with Awake My Soul. Here we go. I love it. Got to wake up when you hear this song.
God, breathe on me. prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe away.
Praise God. That's what God wants for every single one of us today, to come alive, to come alive in Him. He wants those dead bones. Come alive.
Make me a living stone, a testament to your throne. I am nothing without you, I'm on my own, the only one who satisfies my soul.
That's right. Because people, there are times we get dry in our spiritual lives. We get discouraged. We get down. We get wondering where God is anyway in the midst of our situation. Ann, did you get a poem during that song?
I did.
Let's hear it.
Okay. I will give you what you need. I see just where you are now. Believe that I will bless you. For I am your awesome tower. I will speak to you through my word. You will learn so much there. One thing you will learn from it is that for you, I truly care. So open my word and read it. You will learn so much there. Look to me for all of your needs. Read and look to me with prayer. You know, in two different lines, in two different verses, he inspired to put, you will learn so much there.
Yeah.
And I was reminded, if I may share, I was reminded, I was at my parents' house, and it was time to read the Bible, so I sat there, and they read the Bible. And there was something that came up, and I'm like, what, repeat that? Well, I don't recall that. You know, so we were talking about how, you know, my dad says, yeah, like, every time you pick it up, you can read something that you read previously, and you never saw it before.
It's like
God just enlightens you to
it's
that.
It's called fresh manna every day.
And that happened with me. I'm currently writing down instances of when Jesus performed miracles when he was here.
Sure.
Some things are majorly shifting, perhaps, at my job. And I'm doing this, and I'm going to be actually, I'm doing it for my boss, actually. I'm doing it for me, too. But I'm going to be copying it and give that to her as encouragement to, look, Jesus did these miracles.
Well, absolutely.
So it'll just, again, open up another door that I can share with her.
Amen. And that's one of the reasons we are starting this new series today entitled Where Healing Happens. That is our slogan at Beacon of Hope since we moved into our facility about a year ago, not quite a year. Where healing happens, because we're going to be studying the book of Matthew. So those of you out there that listen to Living the Good Life a lot, get a notebook and start taking some notes here soon, because we're going to be in the book of Matthew, and it's going to really increase your faith, because it's the word that does that. And the words in your poem there, Nan, emphasize that, you know?
And what we've pointed this out before, these are not pre-written poems.
Right.
I mean, they're like, as you would say, hot off the board.
Hot off the boilerplate of the Holy Spirit.
And he inspires us many times during the song. So it's like, that's just the way he does it. So they're not prepared previously.
Well, your faith is going to increase. I told our people this morning as we began the study of Matthew that your faith is going to increase in the next few weeks. Well, the book of Matthew is great because it takes you right through the crucifixion and the resurrection. So there's 28 chapters in the book of Matthew. Actually, you can just start out and read one a day, and in a month you'll have the whole book written or read, or you can just stay with us where we're at. We're not going to go into chapters 1 and 2 because that's really the birth of Jesus. And except for the last verse of chapter 2, where in verse 23, talks about how Joseph took Mary and Jesus, and they moved to Nazareth after, you know, they were trying to kill the baby and all of that. And he says in the very last line of Matthew chapter 2, he shall be called a Nazarene. And that was a prophecy fulfilled from Isaiah 11:1, that the Messiah would be called a Nazarene. We encourage you to take notes and write down things. And I actually passed out a sheet today. Betty, I'll get you the new and revised version of that, where we are making notes on when we see certain concepts all through the book of Matthew. It's going to help us realize the continuity. It's going to help us grow in faith. It's going to help us realize the things that Jesus stressed in the book of Matthew. So if you're just joining us today, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. It's about two-thirds through your Bible, Matthew. And Matthew was one of the disciples. Matthew was a tax collector. Jesus said to him, come and follow me, become a disciple. Matthew left his job, very lucrative job, behind, and he became one of the 12 disciples. And so cool the way he has written this book, because the book of Matthew stresses prophecy fulfilled. How important is that, Betty, that we look at verses that have been fulfilled from the Old Testament prophecy?
Well, I think it brings truth. It shows us that even back in Old Testament times, that that God was preparing a way for his son Jesus. And
amen.
He would give it to prophets like Isaiah and let them know that he's coming.
Yes.
You know, the soon coming king is coming. And he was going to be, you know, becoming as a child, you know, he's going to become as a child first. He's going to be born because, you know, back in the Old Testament, they did sacrifices on different occasions for different things. And they said that there was going to be a soon coming king who would be sacrificed for those,
yes,
like myself, that there would be that person.
Amen.
Who would raise up and be sacrificed for us.
And for us.
For you, for the listeners also. It's for us.
So we don't have to sacrifice bulls and goats anymore, do we?
No, thank goodness.
Right.
Thank goodness.
Right.
Praise God.
Prophecy fulfilled. It's one of the themes that's going to run through the book of Matthew. Matthew is one of the gospels, probably the most important gospel, where he stresses this. In other words, God said it, then he did it, and that settles it, right? Or God said he was going to do it, then he did it, and then he says, guess what? I told you I was going to do it. I love that. There's a promise, you know, and then God says, okay, here it is. And he does exactly what he said. And then later God will say, I told you so. Mm-hmm. God is the God of I told you so, right? Because he promises us. And all of that is an effort to get us to be more full of faith. Instead of trying to figure things out ourselves, learn to give it to God. Because God knew, the heart of the Father knew from the beginning, before the foundation of the earth, that he would one day, when the time was right, send his son Jesus to this earth to show us the Father. And that's what the book of Matthew is all about. And verse 1 of Matthew 3, in those days there appeared John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. That was also a prophecy that came true in Isaiah 40, verse 3. It was prophesied that there would be a forerunner, a person who would come before the Messiah and who would kind of be the introduction to the Messiah. If you've ever been to, I mentioned this morning, but if you've ever been to a concert, a lot of times they will have a warm-up band, somebody that comes on first, and then they say, and now, and they introduce the big act, right? Whoever it is. And really, John the Baptist was the warm-up thing then, the warm-up person, the introducer of the Messiah.
That actually would be a pretty cool position to have.
And it, well,
I mean, I that's
it
cool.
Resulted in him being beheaded because people hated him. But
he had the... God had the grace.
I can't wait to meet him someday. I'm sure his head is back attached.
I'm sure it is.
And, you know, to be the one who says, here comes the Messiah. He is here. You know, wow. Wow. Betty, you want to comment on John the Baptist?
Oh, I sure will. You know, back in children's church years ago, John the Baptist was the rebel.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one who, he was a trailblazer. He was the one who set out to say that, you know, Jesus, you know, Jesus is coming. He is the one. And I love him because they one little kid, I remember, called him Wild Man because of what he ate, you know, he ate off the land.
He sure
did. He was not afraid. He took a risk, and he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to tell of the gospel, or to tell of who the soon coming king was. And he just is, I can't wait to meet him because I want to ask him what it was like to be able to baptize the Messiah.
Oh, yeah.
What it was like to stand near him. I mean, all of the disciples, but what it was like to stand near him and be able to baptize him and then have the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can get into that later, but how the Holy Spirit comes down and how it just encompassed him. And I just, I can't imagine what it would be like. But, yeah, we, back in Children's Church, we called John the Baptist the risk taker because he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to tell of who Jesus was, the soon coming king. He was not afraid.
And he was a cousin of Jesus. And yeah. And you know, it's interesting to me. He was not out there to be some like hero or star. He was out there to accomplish his role in introducing the Messiah to this earth. And I love that about John the Baptist. He was a little quirky. He ate locusts and honey. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but and baptized people in the name of Jesus.
He did, and he baptized them in the River Jordan. And people got word of it, and they go, "Who is this crazy guy out there in the desert? I hear he's baptizing people." Let's find out why he was doing that. Verse 2 of Matthew chapter 3. Here's what John the Baptist was saying: "Repent, think differently." Change your mind. I'm in the Amplified Bible. Repentance is the key word here. If you are writing down key words in the book of Matthew, this is one you've got to write down. Repentance. It's very important. In the Amplified Bible, it says repentance means this. Think differently. Change your mind. Regret your sins. Change your conduct. Four things. I love these. Think differently. In other words, if you're thinking bad thoughts all the time, you're mad at people, you're angry, you're all bent out of shape about this thing and that person and blah, 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 think differently. That's repentance. Repentance is, God, I'm sorry for that attitude. Now I'm going to think differently about that. When that person comes to my mind, I'm going to just pray for them, or I'm going to forgive them, or I'm going to walk in true repentance. Because true repentance is four things, and you might want to write these down. This is in the Amplified Bible, and I love it. Repentance does not mean just to say, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah, and not mean it. Repentance is to mean it. Repentance is to change your behavior. Repent, think differently, change your mind, regret your sins, change your conduct. In other words, repentance is more than, I'm just sorry. Okay, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We call that around here fire insurance. When people go, well, I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I got to repent. Okay, God, forgive me for everything I've ever done. Bye. That's not true repentance. Nan?
Well, I had written those down from the service this morning. What I wanted just to tag in there and say, the fourth one is change your conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And many times people will do 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
But they do not want to change their conduct because they want to continue to do what they were doing.
And why do they want to continue to do what they were doing?
Because they're really messed up people.
Well, because they had something, they were getting something from that behavior. Maybe they were like, rah, 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 and then they accumulated 5 rah, 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 friends, you know? Betty, you know what I'm talking about? It's hard to get people to change conduct, and that's what true repentance is. Repentance is more than, okay, I'm sorry, God, forgive me, come on, God, I'm sorry. It's more than that, Betty.
It is. It's an inward change.
Amen.
And once we begin to understand that our old lives and old selves have passed away.
Right.
That all things are new now, is that we should want to change.
We should want to.
We should want to. And I think, you know, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, or Nan, is that once we once we repent, once we give our life to Christ, then comes the baptism. And possibly in between the salvation and the baptism, there comes an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I believe that once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that you really do want to change.
Yeah.
You want to be more Christ-like. You want to be like Him.
Amen.
Especially a lot of new believers. I mean, a lot of new believers are on fire for Christ, and they just, you know, they'll go out as soon as they hit the, you know, the front doors. It's like, I've been saved. I've been washed in the blood.
Right.
And they tell everyone they possibly can about Jesus Christ. But we also have someone who's coming to devour and to seek, kill, and destroy.
Right.
To try to take away that enthusiasm.
All the time.
That new believers have, and even with old believers like me and you. Like, I have to leave Nan out because she's so much younger. But you have to understand that once the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is change, because you want to. It's a desire. It's almost like you don't want to be like your old self. But then the enemy comes in and tries to tell you, well, you know, being a Christian is not all, you know, strawberries and cream. There are struggles. There are times that we do struggle, but most of the time we put on the garment of praise. We worship the King, and those are the things that drives us to stay closer to God.
Right.
And to be able to have that opportunity for repentance when we know that we've done something wrong.
Right.
But it's hard. It's hard. Once you become a Christian, you know, the enemy is going to be after you. And that's where the Word of God comes in, that keeps us sharp, keeps us attentive to what's going on, that gives us helpful information to be able to fight him and to keep him at a distance. Because Jesus wants us all in his kingdom. He has many mansions, and that's where he wants us.
Amen.
Sometimes it's hard for me to shut up when you ask me a question, because I could just keep going on and on and on.
That's all right.
When I was saved, I wanted to change.
Right.
I didn't want to be like my old self, because my old self had anger, had a lot of bitterness, mm-hmm. and aggression, and it changed me. It literally changed me from the inside out, and I praise God for that. I praise God for that all the time.
And how do we effect that change? When we talk about true repentance, it is a change of conduct. It's a change of your mind. It's a desire that changes. Listen to this song by the group I Am They, and My Feet Are on the Rock. This is how you accomplish it. You got to keep yourself founded and stuck on the rock, Christ Jesus. Love this song.
I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. I can feel the waters rise. I can hear the howling lies that haunt me. Fear won't hold me now. My feet are on the rock.
My feet. I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands.
Yes, amen. Are your feet on the rock, Christ Jesus? Because that's how you're going to effect real change in your life. Isaiah 40, verse 3, was a prophecy that Matthew refers to here about John the Baptist. And he says this, 700 or 800 years before John the Baptist and Jesus were born, this prophecy was spoken. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice of one who cries, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. That was John the Baptist's message. Clear away the obstacles. Make straight and smooth in the desert a highway for our God. I love that verse in Isaiah 40, verse 3. It's already 700 or 800 years before it ever happened that there would be somebody who would come to make a highway that would shout, you know, here comes the Messiah, and that's who he is. And that, so we're back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, and at the end of it says, this is the one that Isaiah was talking about. Prepare the road for the Lord, make his highways straight and level and direct. And then we know about John the Baptist that he kind of, his office was the wilderness. He ate locusts and honey and stuff like that. He was dressed in weird camel's hair. He came in the type of Elijah, very much like Elijah of the Old Testament. And so in verse 5 of Matthew 3, everybody came out to see him. You know, I think they really probably didn't have a whole lot of entertainment back then. And people hear about, oh, there's this crazy guy out in the wilderness. You know what he's doing? He is putting people down in the Jordan River and baptizing them. And so people came, and then they began to hear his message. And verse 6, they were baptized in the Jordan by him, confessing their sins. Confessing their sins goes right along with the definition of repentance, where we change our mind, we regret our sins, we change our conduct, all of that. These people were coming out there. John was baptizing them in water, and they were confessing their sins. And in verse 8, one of the things that John was saying was this, bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Okay, we just said that the Amplified Bible says if you are truly repent, there's four things that are going to happen. You're going to think differently. If you have a pen, write them down. You're going to think differently. You're going to change your mind. You're going to regret your sins. And you're going to change your conduct. So, Nan, why is that so important, that repentance is much more than just, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, forgive me.
Well, I think it needs to go deep down within us and not just be lip service.
Amen, it does. A term, yes.
You know, and, you know, I mean, there's been times that I've needed to be repentant with God. And, you know, like Betty was saying earlier, you know, when you have the Holy Spirit, we want to be pleasing to God. We want to be found in favor. We want to be able to share. You know, I just thought of something. You know, at work, you know, well, I'm a Christian everywhere, but I'm a Christian at work too. And there's this lady that absolutely drives me up a wall. I've never seen anyone who can 8 hours can talk continually for 8 hours solid. All day long, all the way down the hallway. You can tell when the boss is not there because she doesn't do it when the boss is there.
Uh-huh.
And one day it hit me. I said, you know, it's time to tell her about this problem. And God checked my spirit and says, you keep your mouth shut.
Right.
What witness would I have given?
Right. You would have told her. Yeah.
And if I'd have told her off, I'd have had to repent to God, and I would have repented and meant, you know, but in the meantime, I would have brought a great bad witness for God.
You know why you're giving us that example, in my opinion, is because we are responsible only for us. Okay? It's different when you're raising a child or correcting a grandchild or something like that. But basically, we're not supposed to be fruit inspectors.
That's true.
But we are.
We are at times. Yes, we are.
Right?
Yes.
Let's amplify on that. Verse 8, Matthew 3, John the Baptist says, bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Let your lives prove your change of heart. I love that phrase in the Amplified Bible. Let your lives prove your change of heart. In other words, don't just give it mouth service, you know? I love God. Yeah, I go, oh, I love God, blah, blah, blah. And then not really change our thoughts, our mind, our actions. Talk to us, Betty, about this. Bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. And if you're looking for themes in the book of Matthew, bringing forth fruit is one of the themes. Repentance is another one. Let your lives prove your change of heart, Betty.
Well, you know, we tried. You know, if we're going to talk the talk, we got to walk the walk. It's just like if I had met you for the first time, and I said, I'd like to share something with you that it could be a testimony. But if people know that they see a difference in you,
right?
I can use as an example because I'm not in the work environment anymore. But Megan is my daughter, and she is in a walking example.
Sure.
Of why in that one line in that scripture, live the life that Jesus wants you to live.
Right.
And it's possibly, you know, it can be a hug, it can be a prayer. It can be just a word of encouragement that we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus while we're here.
Right.
And we're giving a lot of opportunities sometimes that we ignore because it's out of fear that we don't want to tell people, I go to church and I am filled with the Holy Spirit, but then have someone look at you and say, you're different. And they've told Megan that on numerous occasions. You're different than most people, and that's the light that shines through the darkness. This is what that scripture is saying, is prove. Let me do that again. Prepare. You know, he wants us to be able to be, Jesus wants us to be like him. And sometimes it's hard, but he wants us to be like him. He wants us to tell of the good things that he does. And We have to be vigilant. We have to stay in the Word because sometimes, you know, old enemy can creep in, old Lucifer can come in and distract us and get us off base of where we were headed. And we've just got to be vigilant. We've got to be on alert. And there's the only way to do it is to stay in the Word because
Amen.
The Word is alive. The only way we can do
Amen.
It.
Amen.
And through song, through I believe in the assembling together of people, of like believers who can uplift us and who can give us encouragement maybe throughout the week. And it's important for us to gather together as a group to be able to worship together because, again, it's just we are the hands and feet of Jesus and we need to be that to our brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen. And so when we are really walking in repentance and we are walking in an attitude of I want to bring forth fruit that is in keeping with repentance, that means your life begins to show in greater measure the fruit of the Spirit. Those are found, those nine fruits, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control. Did I leave one out? Then I think I did, but I'm not sure what. But that's where they're at. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's the fruit we are supposed to be bearing. Okay? And also, talking to people about Jesus and what he's doing in our lives is so important. Want to look at verse 10 of Matthew 3. Jesus says here, or is this John the Baptist talking? Yeah, it's John the Baptist talking. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So, guys, when we are making it known to people that we're God's kids, that we belong to Jesus, that we believe that he is our Lord and Savior, and if we're not bearing good fruit, if we're not walking in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and long-suffering, self-control, when we're not walking in those things, John the Baptist is saying, hey, if you don't bear good fruit, you're just cut down, thrown into the fire. In other words, guys, our lives must demonstrate that we walk in repentance. When God shows us something we need to ask him to forgive us for, we walk in that. Verse 11 of Matthew 3, John the Baptist says, I'm going to baptize you in water because of repentance, because of changing your mind for the better and changing your ways, and that you're sorry for your past sins. That's what repentance is. That's what we've been talking about today. But then John the Baptist says, but he goes, that's my ministry. My ministry is that, to make sure you understand that you got to repent and change your behavior. But he said, one is coming after me, mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy or fit to take off or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit with fire. You see, John the Baptist was the warm-up act, so to speak, for the Messiah. He was the one that got people realizing, oh, man, I need to confess my sins and get baptized. I need to have a change of behavior and a change of mind. I got to quit walking around in a whole lot of anger and jealousy and rage and fear. Talk to us, Betty, about all that. Woo!
Well, you know, when you spend a lot of time in God's Word and you spend a lot of time in prayer, is you can, through God's Holy Spirit that comes upon you, is that you can sense in your spirit at sometimes that a lot of people walk around in fear. People walk around still with a lot of baggage that they can give during that repentance time that could free them from fear from chains that bind them.
Right.
And that's what baptism does. We had baptism at church today, and there were probably 47, 48 people that were baptized. And, you know, it seems like when they got into the water, and I can imagine them doing this at the Jordan River, is I'm sure that the water was probably a little cool, just like it was in a baptismal tank. But they go in with anticipation. They go in of saying, okay, God,
mm-hmm.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm going, the old man is going to be washed away. Yes. The new life is coming in. And of course, my heart is children. And the children would come in and they're like, oh, I'm kind of nervous about doing this. But they can't, you know, they went down, came back up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a smile on their face. Each and every one of them knew what they had done is that new life, that they don't have to live the old life that
Amen.
They have lived in the past. And that's what repentance is. Repentance mm-hmm. is giving up that old way of doing things. It's giving way to the forgiveness of sins in the past. And it's like almost like an eraser, you know, just a big old heavenly eraser just erases all of the past once you repent. And we do that also on a daily basis, because I'm sure that there are times that, you know, we make God angry, or we make God sad, or we do things that, and like we do this with the grandkids, that makes God makes God sad, because he knows that we were doing good, but then somehow we turned around and we did something we shouldn't have. We told a lie, or we did something, we took something without asking. And those are things that we repent for because we're sorry. You know, it's a heart thing. I call it a heart thing, because you don't want to displease God. You want to make him happy. You want to see a smile on his face and know that his that he is happy with you, because he loves us so much that he gave us that opportunity to repent when we do something bad.
Amen. And that's why I'm going to play the breakup song by Francesca. Love this song.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Had as much of you as I can take. I'm so done, so over being afraid. I've gone through the motions, I've been back and forth. I know that you're thinking you've heard this before. I don't know how to say it, so I'm just gonna say it, yeah.
Woo! I love this.
Fear you don't own me. There ain't no room in this story. And I ain't got time for you telling me what I'm not. Like you know me. Well, guess what? I know who I am. I know I'm strong. And I am free. Got my own identity. So fear you will never be welcome here. Take a minute, let it settle in. You probably never saw it coming. Something's gotta give, so I give up you. Oh, there's no room for you here, yeah, I've had enough. The no vacancy sign on my heart is lit up. In case you didn't hear it, here it is again. Oh. Like me, anybody needing fear to leave? Ooh, yeah. If you don't know how to say it, sing along with me. Sing fear you don't own me. There ain't no room in this story.
That song.
Goodbye, fear.
Goodbye, fear.
Oh, you will never be welcome.
You're not welcome here, fear. Get going. Woo! I love that song. Very different, but it drives home the point. Fear. We've got to refuse fear. Fear is the opposite of faith, people. When we get off into fear and we are strangled sometimes by fear, we cannot move in faith like God wants us to do. We got to repent of that fear. Nan, what did God give you?
Fear will keep you paralyzed.
Uh-huh.
Will you choose to lay it down? You can refuse such. Then share it with all those in town. Don't hold on to it anymore. Lay it down. Then walk away. You can do this, little one. And of you, many will be able to say, she has changed so much. What has happened to her? I want what she has now. She has moved on from fear.
Well, why do we need to move on from fear? Don't we want people to say, wow, what happened to her? She's not the same person. Or him. Boy, he acts different. How important, Nan, is it to wage war on fear?
Oh, it's very important. Fear will keep you paralyzed. Fear will bind you up in such a way that you cannot be what God wants you to be. You can't be the witness that he wants you to be. You can't have the peace that he wants you to have.
Sure.
Because you're bound up with fear. You're afraid of doing this, or you're afraid of walking there, or you're afraid of, you know, talking to somebody. You just, fear will grip you, you know, and that's a trick of the enemy to just have you so engulfed with fear. It will paralyze you.
It is paralyzing.
And you can't move forward in the way God wants you to move forward because you're paralyzed by fear.
And God wants us to move in faith.